It's on page, sorry, I'm trying to do two things at once, and I'm not very good at that. It is on page 425. We're going to read together Psalm 3. Psalm 3. If you would, stand as we read God's Word together. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying to me, there is no help for you in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I am not afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Rise up, O Lord. Deliver me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies in the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people. Amen. Speaking of fear, which is what we're going to do, speaking in front of you is not my thing. So, y'all forgive me. Let's talk about fear for a minute. Fear of public speaking is one of mine. Do any of you have that one? Yeah. But I want to tell you about one time that I was so afraid. I was probably about 14 years old. I was in the Boy Scouts, and we had gone camping for the weekend. Camping to a remote location on a lake, place I'd never been before, and it's all dirt roads, and all the dirt roads look alike. But one of my tasks was, as we began to break camp, one of my tasks to earn my next merit badge was to prepare my pack and then hike out. And so, being bravado, I packed everything together. I got ready. I put my pack on my back. And they said, do you know the way out? I said, absolutely, I know the way out. I took a wrong turn. And after about 30 minutes of walking, I realized I had taken the wrong turn because I hit a dead end. I'm like, uh-oh. No, it wasn't uh-oh. It was, I was scared. No reason to be scared. There's only, you know, maybe 15, 20, 30 miles of roads around that lake. No problem. I was scared. So what did I do? I didn't try to just turn around and backtrack. I turned around and backtracked, and I said, well, maybe I should go this way. Nope. That wasn't wise. Anyhow, it took them 45 minutes to find me. But they did finally find me. And I earned two nicknames, Wrong Way. And the other one I'm not so sure is a politically correct term to use, but pond scum. You know how it just sits on the water and goes nowhere. Well, that was me. So that was my nickname through Boy Scouts. But that was me being afraid. You know, I've got a dog at home. This dog isn't the bravest thing in the world. He's kind of an anxious dog. He gets skittish at things. Thunder is one of them. Firecrackers is a big one. But even around other dogs at times, he's very, very tepid, very cautious. He wants to make sure that they're not going to attack him. But about 2 months ago, I was walking the dog, and we had turned up a hill, headed towards home, and we got to the top of the hill, and we were going to take a left turn, and it's dark outside, because it's dark outside, it's 6 in the morning. And out of the corner of my eye, as we're turning, I see this pit bull come racing down a hill. I'm like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. So I turned and faced the pit bull and screamed at the pit bull, and I'm sure I woke up people 3 and 4 blocks over. But I looked at that pit bull and I screamed at him again, and he wasn't backing down. He was continuing to come, and so I started to take off, and the next thing I know, my dog steps in between us. And I'm lucky. That dog bit his chain in two around his neck. But Boo was okay. And the owner at that point came tripping down the hill, bless his heart. He was trying to catch him even as he got away. But anyhow, just to show you that a dog that is normally very cautious around other animals in that situation stepped between me and the danger. But that's fear. Fear is this. It's an unpleasant emotion. It's caused by a belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. Another dog story. I was on a road in West Virginia, and I was headed down that road, and I saw a St. Bernard. Friendly dog, right? I got too close, and he came after me, and he actually knocked me down, and I had no dog to protect me, but the owner did get me just in time. But he had knocked me down and was going for my throat. And I learned about St. Bernards. They're not the friendly dog I thought they were. So that's something to be afraid of. As a verb, fear is to be afraid of someone or something is likely to be dangerous, painful, or threatening. In our story today, David should be afraid, and I'm going to tell you why. David has written this psalm in a self-imposed exile on his way out of town, so to speak, as he's leaving Jerusalem. He was rallying, his son Absalom was rallying troops against him. Why, you ask? Well, David was never really a great father. He was a great warrior. Remember David and Goliath? He was a great king. He did wonderful things for Jerusalem. But he wasn't a great father. He was mostly absent. His children learned from him by watching what he did. And Amnon, his firstborn son, saw a woman that he wanted, his half-sister, Tamar. And then, like David plotted to obtain Bathsheba, Amnon plotted to obtain Tamar. And so he tricked her and he raped her. Absalom, Tamar's brother, was angered by this. And what he saw in his father was a king and a father who refused to punish his brother. And so he was angered. And in his anger, he eventually plotted and killed Amnon. Again, David did nothing as king or father to intervene. And when he learned of this, Absalom had already left Jerusalem. Absalom stayed away for 3 years. And then, through David's coaxing, through other third parties, Absalom did return back to Jerusalem. And after 2 years, he began to grow restless. They didn't speak to each other, David or Absalom. And after 2 years, he began to grow restless. And what he asked, what he started to do, what he plotted, was a way to go ahead and take his father out. And so, over a period of time, over years, he would sit in the courtyard where they would go to judge cases, and he would greet people as they came in. And he would tell the people, "Hey, Dad's not going to do you right. I'll do you right. Just know that. This is what I would do." And so over time, he did that day in and day out, and he began to develop himself a following. To make a long story short, or at least a little bit shorter, David came to realize what was going on. Absalom left Jerusalem with his following, which didn't leave many of David's following behind. And so he realized that the writing was on the wall, and if he didn't do something, they were going to come back and they were going to kill him and to kill what was left of his court. So David then left, and thus the writing of this. David was fearful, but yet through God he had no fear. See, David was a godly man, but he was a man and had sinful thoughts. His shortcomings would come back to haunt him. And he realized that if he stayed, he and his army would be killed. As David was leaving Jerusalem, he wrote this psalm. And I find it interesting in verse 6, I will fear though thousands assail against me. And I want to ask you today, what do you fear? We've had a lot of time in 13 months to think about the things that we fear. And I'll be honest with you, whenever this whole COVID thing first started, it was something that I was afraid of. But it didn't take long for me to realize that I can't be afraid of it. I just have to do the smart things. Keep my hands clean, keep social distanced, and then take care of myself. Don't attend large gatherings. But if you're like me, there's not much that I fear, right? But there is. Because I want to give you some words similar to fear that may make you think a little bit differently. And see if you recognize some of the components of fear that you hear in these words. Anxiety. Despair. Doubt. Dread. Horror. Jitters, panic, suspicion, terror, unease. I'm terrified of you. Jesus, that's a joke. I'm sorry. I happened to look over there when I said it, and I said, oh my goodness, she's going to think I'm terrified of her. Unease and worry. Now, I want to ask you again, what are your fears? Let's look at a couple of these. What about anxiety? Have you ever been a little anxious about that next trip to the doctor's office? I know I have. My blood pressure starts going up as soon as the car gets parked right in front of the office. There's two things I hate about the doctor's office: getting on the scale and having that choke collar put around my arm. I don't like it. I don't think I would mind the doctor's office if they would just take that away, but I do get very anxious whenever it's time to go to the doctor, usually because I haven't been doing the things that I'm supposed to do. What about doubt? Do you have self-doubt? Ever doubted yourself? There are times that I'm very guilty of that. There are work assignments that I might get at work that I'm like, really? You want me to do that? I don't think I have the ability. But how do we overcome that? Well, we learn about those things. I've learned through the years that there is a secret to overcoming the self-doubt, and that is preparation and knowledge. I overcome doubt and fear in my workplace by studying to better understand the task given me and to learn from other people how they have accomplished the task. In other words, Google is one of my best friends. Well, what about worry? Are any of you guilty of worrying? What kinds of things trigger you to worry about? To think about the what ifs. What if this happens? Or what if that doesn't happen? What if he says this? What if he doesn't save that? Work is again an area where I spend entirely too much of my time thinking about all those what ifs. Why didn't he do that? What are you doing now? Way too much time thinking about those things. But I will say this, that is part of what I'm paid for as the computer guy, is to make sure that the what ifs of hurricanes and power outages and things like that, that things are taken care of in those situations. So there is some semblance of, I do need to worry some at work, but it's all the little things. Why? I lost my place. I'm guilty. All right. All we can do, why do we spend too much time worrying about things in the past? Do we think about those things that have already gone by? Do we think about the things that we can't do anything about? It's already happened. All we can do about past mistakes is to learn from them and work to avoid the same mistakes in the future. All we can do about things happening in the future is to prepare ourselves for the outcome. The amount of time that we spend preparing should only be relative to the importance of the event. I spend too much of my precious time worrying about things that in the end just really don't matter. David had a bit of all three of these types of fear that we're talking about, anxiety, doubt, and worry. He had these emotions despite what he wrote in Psalm 3. And he knew that they were not ready to face Absalom. And he withdrew himself from the situation in order to prepare. Think about a prize fighter who's fought nothing but lefties all his life, and he's working his way up the ranks, and he's got to, for the championship, he has to go up against, he's fought righties, right-handers, all the way up through the ranks, and he's got to fight a left-hander to win the championship. He's got something to be worried about, because he's never faced one. He doesn't know how that left hook works. He doesn't know how that left jab works. He's only seen it from right-handers. So he has to learn and prepare. And through doing that, gains confidence. And through confidence, can carry out the task. What does God call us to do when we are fearful? I've got 7 things that I've found that I think are important. And they're all based on Scripture. In 2 Timothy 1 through 7, God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We cannot control what happens to us. We can only control what we can't control what is said about us. All we can control is how we respond to it, what we do about it. In 1 John 4:18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love." And let that sink in for a minute. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. Therefore, perfect love has no fear. The solution to fear, then, is love. What was that Beatles song? All you need is love. Maybe we'll sing that today. In Joshua 1 through 9, Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You see, that is the truth, is that God is with us, ever present, every moment, everywhere that we go. He's with us with our struggles. He's with us in our joys. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Think about the shepherd. He carries a rod and a staff. They aren't used necessarily for comfort with the sheep, but they are used to protect them, and they keep them safe. There might be occasion where these things come in handy, and it might not be pleasant for a moment to have that crook put around the sheep's neck and drawn back. It might be uncomfortable, but yet at the same time, it's to keep the sheep safe. And so it does provide comfort. In Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. When fearful, prayer is always the first place to start. It's also the place to be at for whatever you're going through, for the duration. And it's always a good and wonderful thing at the end of it to thank God for bringing you through it. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, urban legend would have you believe that the phrase fear not occurs 365 or 366 times in the Bible. So each day of the year, you should have a fear not that you can read so that you can get through it. But the fact of the matter is that fear not appears far more frequently than just 366 times in the Bible. But I encourage you to find all of them. When you're fearful, reach out and hear God speak. In this case to Isaiah, fear not, for I am with you. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. No matter what, the order of resolution to your fears starts with God before your own understanding. God is the most important part of the equation. God may not speak to you and say, turn left here to get out of this neighborhood so that you can find your way out. God may not speak vocally, but God will comfort you in your time, will strengthen you in your time. In closing, I want to bring up an additional synonym for the word fear. There are verses in the Bible where it says, fear God. Fear God. And that may strike some, it caused me to question, so I had to do some research on it. Fear God in the Bible is something that it goes along with the synonym for the word fear that is awe or reverence. Whenever we approach God, we are to be in awe, to be bowed before. I look at it this way. Whenever I look out into the mountains, and I go to the mountains every now and then, twice a year maybe, but I remember as I'm driving along and I get that first good look at the mountains and the majesty and the grandeur that are the mountains, and I think to myself, God created this. And I think it just stills my heart. I don't know how to explain it. And there are probably moments for you think about those moments in your mind today. As we're closing today, think about those moments. And then think about a God who created that and created in you the ability to overcome fear, to overcome obstacles, all the things that we face. Multiply that feeling that you have by infinity, and you'll understand the magnitude of what God offers us. It is something so big, so vast, that there's no way that we can understand it. No way that we can even fathom it. But God has this. God has every situation that we're facing today, personally, as a church, as a community. God knew about COVID long before COVID ever existed. God knew about the strife, the political strife that we're facing today, long before it ever existed. God knew all of it. And he's already seeing the other side. And so let's listen to God. Let's be still and know that God is with us. And overcome those fears that are in our lives. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your word for us today. Father, we thank you for David. We thank you for the words that he wrote. And Father, we thank you that you are with us through all the fears in our life, through all the things that we are afraid of. Father, we give them to you, and we ask that you strengthen us, that you would be glorified, that your Son, Jesus, would be glorified, and that the Spirit would dwell within. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.